Well, good morning, or early afternoon, as the case may be right now. My name is Joe Whitchurch. I work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Purdue with primarily grad students now that I have a few more gray hairs. And I'm here to talk to you on the subject of sexual purity for men. So before we get started, I thought I might introduce you to myself a little more personally. Because you know what they say, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. So let me introduce you to my family. This is me and my wife. That's a great picture, isn't it? Somebody gave that for us. I thought that was special. And here we are again. From this angle, it makes me look skinny, see? As I'm standing up there from the top, kind of a top view. And here I am, believe it or not, this is me when my two little ones were born. Amy and Jim, they're now young adults. And I had a sliver of a mustache here. There's Jim with his two boys. These are my two grandsons. Yeah, we're a family of Packer fans. And now my daughter's grown up, and here she is with her youngest, my youngest grandson, a little cutie named Jackson. And this is a niece. Gave birth to a boy, had open heart surgery. A little girl named Lane had open heart surgery. And this is her latest one named Harper. And how'd that get in there? Well, this is someone's daughter, someone's granddaughter, someone's sister, maybe someone's niece. I don't know. But I know one thing, everybody is somebody's special someone, aren't they? Is that not true? Well, and I think that's part of the whole issue of we as men in our pursuit of sexual purity. We need to know that everybody is someone's significant and special someone. Do not sell yourself below your worth, gentlemen. And what are you worth? Well, I believe the old Andre Crouch song, he would have died for you and me way high on Calvary if you'd been the only one around and I'd been the only boy in town. So what's the shed blood of Christ worth? Don't sell yourself below your worth. You bought the price. You belong to another, even Jesus. When you accidentally poke yourself in the eye with pornography, he comes right out swinging. So how many times do you accidentally poke yourself in the eye? I was thinking about this today as I was getting in the car and juggling something in one hand to run over to Purdue to lead a Bible study. And with the other hand, I reached up and I poked myself in the ear with my thumb, and it hurt. I thought, yeah, well, you can accidentally do it sometimes in our sex-saturated culture. But here's the deal. You stop doing it, you know. You take care of the eye. And you make sure that that doesn't happen again. Confess it, repent, get up again on your feet, and walk in freedom. The world is so polluted and so sexualized, overly sexualized, it's like all seasons, polar vortex, snow and ice covering the land all the time, 24/7. So guess what? If you slip and fall, don't feel too bad. It's going to happen again. Because it's snowing and ice all season, all around. Get back up. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to blame women. You don't want to blame God. You don't want to stay on the ground beating yourself up and saying that you're a nobody and a worthless and everybody to come around you and pity you. You got to stand back up and get walking again with the Lord. Yes, you can shovel your driveway. And you can shovel your walk. And if you live a lifetime in snow and ice, you will fall again. But yes, you can shovel. You can put a shovel in the car. And you can get a new pair of boots with better traction and some snow tires and some salt and tell others where to get such supplies for their driveways and for their feet. Oh, but I can't do that. I couldn't tell anybody else where to get supplies for their feet because, well, I've been a failure. I've been a failure, so I wouldn't want to tell anybody else how to get help. Well, that's nonsense, friends. You know it is. We are all fellow travelers in this journey of sexual purity as men in a highly sexualized, now with technology and every kind of device in our pocket, age that we live in. When you read the book of Proverbs, and you read about the man that goes by the adulterer's house or the wayward wife and so forth. Did you get the feeling that the writer of Proverbs was blaming the fact that that way leads to hell, that he was blaming hell, or that he was blaming death, because he said that's the way that leads to death too? Did you get the feeling he was blaming God or blaming himself or blaming his son? Blaming the harlot, blaming the culture wars, beating himself up for his failures? No. The writer of Proverbs is warning his son and his family members. So we say the application is that we should be warned. I'd like to say it's one step beyond that. We actually do warning too. But here's the thing. We're either busy beating ourselves up, putting ourselves down, falling down, wanting a lot of self-pity, or we think that we're not vulnerable and that we're super spiritual and we don't realize just how vulnerable we are. Newsflash on the writer of Proverbs. It was Solomon. You ever heard of Solomon? He had great wisdom for everybody else, but not much wisdom for his own family. He had hundreds, yea, thousands of wives and concubines. He was, in fact, in this regard, a failure. And yet he had wisdom from God to warn his son. His son was David, and his son had failure. But you get back up and you keep on walking by the grace and mercy of God. So, we say, well, we could never warn people because I failed. Well, here's a little saying, and it's in your notes if you want to look at it. Love can get you through times of sex better than sex can get you through times of no love. That's a worthy, quotable quote. Love can get you through sex, through times of no sex better than sex can get you through times of no love. The two extremes, either high maintenance, do nothing, self-loathing, overreacting out of shame and failure, and then when you do respond to somebody, you over-lecture and put them down and get real hyper on people. That's one extreme. Or the other is that you're so externally moral and sound and think that you're not vulnerable, and now you're doubly vulnerable because you have an unguarded strength. The former president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Gordon MacDonald, by the way, I work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, was once asked if the devil was going to trip him up in one area, what area would it be? And he actually said this. He said, well, I know it wouldn't be in one area. He could trip me up in many areas, but it wouldn't be in the area of marital fidelity because my wife and I have a fabulous relationship. Within a year, he had a one-time affair with somebody that cost his presidency, cost him the church he was pastoring in. One-time affair with someone. He thought it was a strength, but because he thought it was a strength, it turned out to be a double weakness of vulnerability. I know he's well down the road of healing, but still, the point is important for us to know. We don't want to be going after both of those extremes. I have never committed physical fornication, but I was in a rock band with groupies that were very kinky, and I was technically a virgin when I was married, but... While I've never committed physical adultery with my wife, with another physical person in real time, I'm 60 years old, and in the 40 years that I've been a Christian, I have committed spiritual adultery more times than Solomon has wives and concubines. And when Jesus said to Peter, you forget forgiven 70 times, and you're supposed to be a big shot, and he said, no, 70 times 7, 70 times 7 is not enough for me. I need more like 70 times 700. And that is not hyperbole. Our thought life is important, and it's level ground around the cross. I don't care what you've come from or what your background is in terms of sexual purity. I do not feel one bit superior. I know better. God is striving with each of us as unique cases, and He is helping us to get victory. And He that began the work will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. I don't feel a bit more spiritual than Solomon. God saved me as a freshman in college. He saved my wife when she was a freshman in college. And He called me to work in university and college ministry. The college can be a utopia. It's got fountains and pretty malls, rightly, right? And people in the prime of life. And they're intelligent and they're beautiful. It's also a place of cults, of perversions of all sorts, and every kind of internet connection hookup. It's a place of a lot of temptation, materialism, promiscuity. I'm not the man I could be, I'm not the man I should be, and I'm not the man I will be, but by the grace of Almighty God, I thank God every day, I'm not the man that I once was. I'm not the man I was 20 years ago. I'm not the man I was last year. God is working His purposes out in our lives, and it is a long obedience and a consistent direction. And that is challenging because sometimes we fall and we fall hard. The devil, our desire for pleasures, can knock us down a lot harder and a lot faster than the time it takes to get back up. But I do believe in healing. I do believe in repentance. I do believe in replacement. And I do believe in activism. So, while I've never been a physical addict, I did have a time when I was very compulsive about music. Had to have it on all the time. I was a music major. Listened to Bach inventions while doing Bach chorales on paper. And then my free time jazz and then jazz rock. And I just loved music. And it was on all the time. And I had to get a break from that. Probably more obsessive. I've never been addicted physically to smoking or to booze or to drugs. Here's my problem. You can talk to me about this afterwards. I can't relate to people that say that they can't drive past a bar. Because if they drive past a bar, they'll have to slow down, pull in, park, get out, go in the bar, get a drink, drink the drink, and then drink until they get drunk. Now, if you have that issue, I'm proud of you and I'm glad that you are putting boundaries in your life. But to me, that's kind of like saying, I can't get off I-65 and go into Lafayette, because Lafayette's got three strip joints, a whole bunch of bars, and that university over there with all those pretty people in the prime of life. Gentlemen, we need to just grow up and mature and make some decisions. There are interventions at each place along the line. I'm not putting down your boundaries. I know it's different for each person. God deals with us each individually in this area of sexual purity. But listen, you can live in Lafayette. You can move around in Lafayette. You can work in Lafayette. You can go to many fine churches in Lafayette. You can come to this huddle. You can invite people to come to this huddle. It's free lunch. You might even buy lunch sometime for the huddle. There are Bible studies to go. You can prosper and flourish to the glory of God in Lafayette, Indiana. You don't have to avoid getting off I-65 to come into the city. So, I want to tell you something else a little controversial. I'm not big on internet security. I know some of you need it, okay? I may need it more than I think I am. Is this a double-guarded weakness on my part? I don't know. But I believe that the prophylactic condom approach is too porous and too inadequate. You know the HIV virus can come through the condom, right? You know it was no good for safer sex as far as birth control. Okay, they said it was safe sex, and they said, well, it's safer sex. None of that was safe. Sex is made for one person, one man, one woman for life. This is the thing. I don't believe in a prophylactic approach. When you go into the gas station, do you have to put on boxing gloves to keep yourself from buying the little Trojan thing or buying too much of the candy bars and eating till obesity? No, you don't, because you made a decision that you're going to pursue a certain kind of wholeness and healing. Now, you may need to have boxing gloves on when you go on. Do you have to pull the condom over your head so you can't hear things or see things out the side like a Pharisee walking down the street? I don't know. Maybe you do. But I'm inclined to think that God's given us His Holy Spirit. And this morning, when you got out of bed, you got out of bed. When you brushed your teeth, you brushed your teeth. Jesus didn't brush your teeth for you. And He didn't make you breakfast in bed either. And He didn't go to the job site the other day and do your work for you either. But He's given us a mind, He's given us a will, He's given us emotions, He's given us each other for prayer support, and He's given us His Spirit, and we should walk in these things and avail ourselves of these resources because He wants us to grow to maturity. So, I know that's controversial, sorry about that. I do believe there's a place for accountability friends, sometimes even more like a friend like an AA sponsor. That really will call you up and hold your feet to the fire, so to speak. And again, that friendship may morph from high control to less control over time. I'm going a little bit fast. A friend of mine wrote a lyric that said this. Bodies on bodies like boxes on shelves. People using each other to make love to themselves. That's in your quote there. Gentlemen, if that's the pleasure you're looking for, using people to make love to yourself, you can get that with an electric blanket up against a tree and just rub yourself up against the tree. I'm sorry, that sounds vulgar, but this is what we're talking about, some kind of mutual masturbation. That is not the way God has designed this thing. This is not the way we're meant to be. Human trafficking, domestic violences, the signs out there on the road, all these things. The football players have got the major salaries. They've got the supermodel wives, and they can't stop beating themselves up and beating up other people. Blame shifting. Guess what? You don't hit hard enough. Jesus Christ took the blows on the cross. so that we could be set free from the power of sin. And that's good news for sexual purity. And we need to know that, and we need to treat people with dignity and avail ourselves of the resources. Martin Luther once said, you can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. He also said in the book, the song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, we're not the right man on our side, our striving would be losing. I disagree with that lyric. We're not the right man on our side, our striving would be slaughtered. So yes, in one sense, I say, hey, you're the one that brushed your teeth. You're the one that prepared the meal. You're the one that went to work yesterday. I believe that we need to depend on Jesus Christ in every part of our lives. If you don't know the Lord here today and you're here visiting, welcome. This is a safe place for spiritual conversations. I'm talking with a lot of bravado, perhaps, with a lot of conviction. You may be in a different place along the path. That's why we have table discussions. And nobody's going to judge you for wherever you are in the process. But to me, I would be slaughtered if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I would be absolutely slaughtered. We're not the right man on my... And you see that in our culture, right? With the human trafficking, with the degradation of women and children, with what's going on with ISIS, with we barely dodged the bullet on the HIV thing. I remember living in Zambia, Africa, when HIV was at its height. People tell me I couldn't go to the dentist. I had to get some work done. It involved blood. I'm going to die. A mosquito's going to get me. I'm going to die of AIDS. But I didn't. And that right now, it's the Ebola thing. Our country is saturated with the virus of sexual promiscuity and permissiveness. We, as men, need to take a stand against that and for human dignity, for our own soul's sake, for the sake of our loved ones, for the sake of our children. Each person is somebody's significant others. One of the last steps in the 12 steps is to help others. And, you know, people say that's last because you got to do all these other steps first. I think, as an activist, that sometimes it helps to start helping other people right away. I'm not saying that means you got to go down to Chances Are and check in and talk to somebody there at the strip place. It's incremental. Where do you go? You bring them to the huddle. You introduce them to scriptures. I've got some scripture passages, and I'm going to put them on the table. Some of you may have seen I made a link to it on online called tinyurl.com and Lafayette Huddle. But anyway, I'll pass these around the tables when you have your discussion questions here in a little bit to talk about some things around in your table. But yeah, make a difference. Take a stand to the glory of God. Here's a quote that I love, and I'll close with this. It's from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He says that all the darkness, and this is the thing where deeds are done in darkness, friends, right? All the darkness in the world isn't going to cast out darkness. You can't overreact, you can't beat yourself up. All the darkness in the world is not going to cast out darkness. Only the light can do that. And all the hatred of self or failure or displaced hatred of the opposite sex or self-loathing, all the hatred in the world is not going to be cast out by changing who you hate. You need to experience the love of Christ. You need to know that He loves you. All that hate can only be driven out, not by more hate, but by love. God is love. Jesus demonstrated His love. And that while we were yet sinners and, in fact, dead in our sin, He made us alive, shed His blood, and died for us. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. So let's make some progress in these areas. If you're dealing with hurts or habits, hang-ups, there are resources in town. Behold Recovery and others. I talked to people last week around tables about several different churches that have such groups, accountability relationships, and so forth. But let's go around our tables. I want to say a prayer real quick. God, I thank You again for this food. Thank You for this time. Thank You that I'm in the struggle with all these dear friends. And we thank You that You are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, we give You praise for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.